of each of these words that they disagreed on the whole way of salvation and the meaning of the gospel itself. I could go into where the disagreement was, but that would be a historical matter, and I don't think we have time. But that's where the problem was. The Roman Catholics didn't understand what those three words meant, or they didn't want to. And the whole controversy centered in just that. So I hope I've answered some of the meanings of these things, and maybe we know a little bit better what it means to be justified. Maybe a couple more words by way of relevant. So often people say this is not relevant anymore. They say this is the medieval scholastic terminology, or this is the feudal terminology. I've heard it called that by good Lutherans, or should I say bad Lutherans. That's not true. The word justify today, that is a very contemporary word. In our day of law courts and justice and injustice and all these forensic terms, everybody goes to a lawyer nowadays. It's easy for even a kid to understand what it means to be justified, acquitted in a court of law, regarded as righteous. So let's not think this is a difficult concept or one that isn't meaningful to modern man and relevant. It is most relevant. The word reconcile, very relevant. The word propitiate, very relevant. If my wife is mad at me, I want to pacify her, don't I? Propitiation is being done all the time. So all these great themes of salvation are very meaningful and very relevant today, and particularly very important. Salvation. What does the word save mean? It means to rescue. People are constantly being rescued today. All right, that's what Christ did. He rescued me from sin, from death, from hell, from every possible evil. Any kid can understand that. Well, I better not talk anymore. I won't have any time for questions. How much time do we have? 5 minutes. Okay, any or comments? Maybe you think I omitted some important issues, some of you. Please, any hands?
We have two microphones on the floor, and if any of you would like to ask some questions, you're welcome to come up to either microphone so that the whole group could hear you clearly on any of the areas.
If you don't ask questions, I'll just keep on talking. Yes.
I know we preachers sometimes become repetitious, but I think one of the things that I emphasized in my ministry, in sermon, class, and so forth, was the fact that there is never a qualifying adjective that is used with the word righteousness, justification, salvation, redemption, or any of these things. It's a totality in all cases.
Yeah, when you're forgiven, you're always totally forgiven. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, Paul says. No condemnation of any kind. This is another area where, historically, we and the Roman Catholics have differed. They believe in piecemeal partial forgiveness. Baptism forgives your original sin. Your venial sins are forgiven this way. Your mortal sins are forgiven this way. Not for us. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Original sin, actual sin, capital sins, mortal sins, venial sins, you name them. It's all included in that one great big singular word there, sin of the world. And he took it away. That's forgiveness. Yeah. There's no conditional nature to it, and there's no piecemeal nature to it. I saw another hand.
We have time for some more questions. Mics are available.
So since I'm so close to the microphone, I guess I might as well get up and ask a question. In our congregation, there's a lady that's been a Lutheran all her life, and she has doubts, you might say, about this doctrine of justification. I keep telling her, you have nothing to fear. Christ died for you, and he has given you this, all the blessings, righteousness, justification, everything that goes with it. You can be assured that on Judgment Day, you have nothing to fear. You can be assured of heaven. And I quote this passage, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There's no qualification there. You will be saved, I said to her. And her answer was, I sure hope so. So she was still in a state of doubt, and I really was a little bit ill at ease. I didn't know quite what to say at that point to her. I didn't mention, I think, well, the devil has a little bit to do with it, but she should put all of her faith and trust in him.
Now, that's a perennial problem with all of us, I guess. The question is, can and ought a Christian be certain of his salvation? This was another great question that Luther asked as a reformer. People say his great question was, how can I find a gracious God? Yes, I think that was his question. But coupled with that question was, how can I, or can I be certain? And he found certainty. How? By not looking to himself, whether his faith was strong enough, whether he'd done this or that or the other thing, but by understanding what was meant by that word righteousness. Because that righteousness was something that was just there. It had been done and performed prior to my faith, prior to my very existence. And to doubt that, your salvation is not to doubt yourself, it's really to doubt God. Believe the promises, the unconditioned promises. But it's often hard, I found, as a pastor, to convince people of this. And you have to tell them again and again and again. And that's what God does. He provides pastors who preach it every Sunday. He provides the Lord's Supper where we are assured of it and given it every single time. We pick up the Bible, and every time we read a promise, it's there. So he just says it and says it, and I guess if you tell a person something long enough, he'll believe it. And God makes it available. Yes, sir.
With the visit of the Pope, it seems to me that there is a greater emphasis now on Lutheran Roman Catholic dialogue. And I see the emphasis seems to be centered on the Augsburg Confession. Now, what is the liberal Lutheran view of justification by faith today? How does it differ from the confessional view of justification by faith? And how are they trying to relate it to the Roman Catholic view of infused grace?
Wow. In two sentences, he says. I can't answer all of that. Maybe just a kind of a off-the-cuff answer. When you ask what is the liberal doctrine of justification, I would say there are so many different liberal doctrines of justification that there wouldn't be any way in which I could answer the question. I read a book last summer in connection with a course I was teaching up in Minnesota where a Lutheran taught justification by faith as an unconditioned gospel. Oh, it sounds so good. But actually, he did not believe in what he called ontology, which means that he really didn't believe that justification happened. So justification is merely a kind of a notion as to how I'm supposed to orient myself to something or other, like God. But in the Bible, when it says, I am justified, therefore we conclude that a sinner is justified by faith, or when Paul says that I might have Christ's righteousness, he's talking about not a fiction or a myth, some concept or Platonic idea. This justification, which takes place in my life, is as certain and sure as the very life and death of Jesus Christ, the God-man, on which it's based. In fact, it is the very obedience and of Christ's life and death which becomes mine as I am justified. And this is something very important. So there are so many distortions of this thing which are put in somewhat orthodox terminology that you have to be very careful. Now, as far as the Pope is concerned, I don't think to this day, even if he's a nice Pole, he has the slightest conception of what we're talking about here, unfortunately. If he did, he would say so. Because this is a pretty important point. Now, I am thankful that the Roman Catholics do believe in a vicarious atonement. And they do believe that Christ is true God and true man, and therefore there can be a vicarious atonement. And I've talked with many Roman Catholics who believe in that so firmly that they are totally certain of their salvation. They trust in what Christ has done. God be praised for that. And I've met many of them. So I'm grateful for it. But theologically, the Reformation doctrine of justification is still pretty well obscured and rejected in Roman Catholicism. I haven't read in any of the papers that he mentioned that on his trip to Des Moines or Chicago, unfortunately. But I will say this, I went to an ecumenical meeting outside of Strasbourg, France, a year ago, and just now. And the fellow, it's so ironic, the fellow that spoke best about justification, Article 4 of the Augsburg Confession, was a Catholic professor by the name of Mantz from one of the universities in northern Germany. And I talked to my good Lutheran friend Runsch, who was here on campus, and he says, that fellow, Mantz even calls him Father Luther. Blessed Luther, he calls him in front of all these other Catholics and Protestants. But you see, he is totally out of touch with his own church, except that they got no discipline, so they don't do anything about it. And we can thank God for that, too. So you've got these individuals, and more and more of them, as discipline breaks down in the Roman Catholic Church, and that, I think, you can consider a kind of a blessing. Maybe one more question, and then I suppose we better have a recess. Yeah.
This isn't so much a question as it is a comment on the question that was asked. As you know, I come from an LCA background, and generally the attitude of the men where I was serving was that since Helsinki, we don't know what justification by faith alone means, and therefore the liberal Lutheran view now is that it should be justification by grace. And that Roman Catholics know what they're talking about, and so if we put the two together, we now have a common understanding of justification.
Yeah, that's pretty simplistic, because they still disagree with us on what grace is and what justification is. But the Lutheran I was quoting was an LCA Lutheran, as you probably recognize, Jensen. I think I better quit, because you want to stretch and have a little relaxation. For what, about 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
And then please don't leave, because we have a very fine speaker coming up, Professor Hamann, and he's going to go back to Australia soon, and we want to listen to him before he goes. Thank you very much.